Hey everyone, welcome in to Morning Invest on this Thursday, March 25th. So glad to see all of you. Sorry, I'm going to do a little thingy here. There we go. Anyway, welcome in on this March 25th. Hello to all you beautiful souls. Welcome to Morning Invest, the only morning show that's outside of the Matrix, not plugged into the Matrix. On today's show, Congress introduces a new UBI bill that would provide $2,000 stimulus checks up front and then $1,000 a month until this pandemic is over with. We're going to look at that plan. We're going to break it down for you. Would you support that? Let me know in the chat below. Meanwhile, Joe Biden's infrastructure plan, President Biden's infrastructure plan has a date. We now know when it will be announced. We'll tell you when that will be. We also have some new details this morning. We've got a ton of details to share with you on that plan, what's in, what's out. And progressives are going to be very, very happy about a lot of the provisions in that bill. And Republicans trying really hard to keep people from organizing into unions. There was a fiery fight yesterday on the Senate floor. We'll show you that. Also, Democrats are lying to you about this voting bill, this H.R. 1, which is now Senate Bill 1. And yes, it's going to remake our elections. Save America. Meanwhile, there's all sorts of hidden provisions in there, which actually would hurt us in a lot of ways. We'll look at those things. It'll hurt third parties. So we will analyze all of that and more on today's show in our Keeping Them Honest segment. See, we go after Democrats and Republicans here on the show because we pull no punches.
No one is safe.
If you want to become a channel member, no one is safe from us. No one is safe. If you want to become a channel member, if you want to be informed, more informed, and learn something new every day, every morning, you should join our daily newsletter. It's totally free. And you can go to morninginvest.com and grab that. It is totally free. It's right to your inbox every morning between the hours of 6 and 7 a.m. Eastern Time. The best part is it's simply free. So go to morninginvest.com, put in your email address, and you'll be added to our list. It supports our show. It keeps us doing what we're doing here. Plus, you get an awesome newsletter first thing in the morning. So please check that out. All right, it's news time. Shall we get to some news? Let's start this morning with the old stimuli, the stimulus. And let's start with this new one from Rashid Tlaib. So you may know Rashid Tlaib. She has long been a proponent of wanting to give low-income adults $3,000 a year in universal basic income. Well, she is at it again, and she just introduced a new bill called the Automatic Boost to Communities Act. And so let's go through some of the highlights of this. I think it's really powerful. And there's actually pretty broad support for this, by the way. Now, it's slightly lower than what we've seen before in the $1,000 range this time instead of $2,000. But here's what it would do. And I'll read the summary at the start of this is the bill. In response to the coronavirus crisis, the Automatic Boost to Communities Act would immediately provide a U.S. debit card preloaded with $2,000 to every person in America. Each card would be recharged with $1,000 monthly until 1 year after the end of the coronavirus. And it would also guarantee universal income. That's provision two. Every person includes dependents. So a couple with two children would receive four times 2,000 equals $8,000 in total. Non-citizens, including undocumented people, permanent residents, and temporary visitors whose stay exceeds 3 months. Individuals who do not have a bank account, social security number, or permanent address. So if you don't have a bank account or a social security number, wouldn't matter. People living in unincorporated territories or protectorates and Americans living abroad. And it goes on from there. But this would provide $1,000 a month till the end of the coronavirus. In addition to, you would receive a prepaid debit card from the federal government with $2,000 right on it. It's pretty impressive. What do you guys think about that? Now, this is a House bill. She's looking for more members of Congress to sign on to this. So here's what I want all of you to do. So get the name of this bill and write to your member of Congress if you want and you support this. The Automatic Boost to Communities Act from Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib. And tell them that you want your member of Congress to support this if you do, in fact, think that universal basic income and a recurring stimulus check is needed until we get out of this nightmare that so many Americans are facing right now. So let me know your thoughts on this in the chat.
Cindy Girl 41 with a $5 super chat says, I'll believe that we'll get UBI when I look out my window and actually see Godzilla fighting King Kong. Then I'll know that fantasy can become reality.
Hey, well, remember Ted Cruz said that if he would support something, I forget what he said he would support, if Texas freezes over. It happens. Stuff happens, right? Texas froze over. No one thought that was going to happen. And it did. So we'll see. But I certainly support this. I think it's ambitious. And I think, you know, she's trying to gain broad support for it. We know that Ilhan Omar, other members of the Progressive Caucus, Bernie Sanders on the Senate side. So I think there is growing consensus that this might be necessary to get us out of this, especially among, poorest Americans and those whose jobs are permanently gone. We keep hearing, like, talking about, oh, the economy's booming, it's going to coming back and all of that. That's great. But it's this K-shaped recovery. So it's the people on top. It's the billionaires. It's the Bezoses of the world who end up doing so well. It's the millionaires. It's the people with high paying jobs that can stay home, work remotely, work on their computer, and who don't have to be out there on the front lines, the grocery store employees who now have to worry about what's going to happen to me when I go to a grocery store these days. You know, not only do I have to deal with COVID, now I go to a grocery store and I also have to deal with people carrying guns in there. Because there was another arrest yesterday at a grocery store with a guy wearing body armor and a whole arsenal of weapons. People are hurting and they need help. And these bills, you know, I want them to get out there, legislate, move, not just talk, you know, not just getting out there and talking, but actually legislating. Get some stuff done. Let's pass some bills. Let's get rid of this filibuster. Let's make things happen for the American people. Wouldn't it be nice? Which brings me to the Build Back Better plan that the White House plans to roll out. So now this is the massive infrastructure plan that's going to be rolled out. We now have a date. He is planning a big speech next Wednesday in Pittsburgh. So Pittsburgh, my alma mater, University of Pittsburgh area, that's going to be the focus of this Build Back Better event. The contents of the proposal are going to be largely similar to what Jim Tankersley, good reporter over at the New York Times, actually one of the few, wrote a few days ago. The Biden proposal is a massive $3 trillion plus package that will have two main themes in it, two big themes. There'll be an infrastructure piece that's going to total more than $2 trillion. And there's the social welfare element, which is also estimated at roughly $1 trillion. Okay, so I want to get into each of these now, and particularly the social welfare side of it, because it's a lot of people are arguing that this could remake our American landscape. I mean, think about the New Deal under FDR, but on steroids. So, and think about this, between his Build Back Better proposal and this $1.9 trillion American Rescue Plan, Biden, I think, you know, he waited so long to become president. He waited like 45 years or something to become president. It's like, you know, now he's in there. He's like, fine, you know what? I'm probably going to die in this office. So I'm going to go big. I'm going to go bold. I'm going to piss off a lot of people with how much we're going to spend. And everyone on Wall Street can argue about how much we're spending and how much debt we have. But you know what? I got one shot at this. And he's going for it. So what's in this bill, this massive infrastructure thing, is going to thrill progressives. A lot of it is going to make progressives very, very happy. And it's going to infuriate Republicans, which it's already doing. But it's Biden right now actually setting an agenda and then forcing the GOP to react, something this White House hasn't done very well over the past few weeks. The White House right now wants the House to pass. So here's how it'll roll out. They want the House of Representatives to pass a steady drumbeat of infrastructure bills over the spring and the summer. And guess what'll happen? The Senate Republicans then will block them all, okay? So we're going to start passing these infrastructure bills in the House. They'll come to the Senate, and then the Republicans will block them. The White House will throw up their hands and they'll say, okay, next step is reconciliation since you guys are blocking everything. So then they'll lump it all together in one big reconciliation vehicle, and then it will be signed into law by President Biden. That's how it will play out. So exactly how we see it coming together is that it's going to be having all of these different layers to it first, and then it's going to come together in one big reconciliation package. The White House sees its legislative proposal under two big themes, of course. It's the rebuilding America and investing in the middle class human infrastructure piece. So, of course, let's get to the first part, which is the roads and bridges. That's the $2 trillion piece. And that's going to look like this. It's going to, it's called H.R. 2. It'll be H.R. 2, which is a beefed up version of the House's infrastructure bill, which hasn't been released yet. But it's going to be similar to last year's bill, which you can go and read if you want to for some reference on it. It's going to focus on investments in roads, bridges, infrastructure, public housing, schools, water, manufacturing. So that is probably the most bipartisan part of the bill, right? These are all things that Republicans support, mostly. Roads, bridges, housing, manufacturing, et cetera. But the big issue is how they're going to pay for it. And in that is going to be the corporate tax rate hike that's going to go up as well. So that's where Republicans will probably stomp their feet. And the Biden administration is convinced that the argument that the corporations do not pay enough in taxes is one that will actually play well politically out there. I mean, we've seen the polls on it. How many? I'll ask you right now, how many of you watching right now live, drop me a comment below. Are corporations paying enough in taxes? Yes or no? Are corporations paying enough in taxes?
You know, when you have...
Let me know in the chat.
When you have these big corporations making, you know, trillions of dollars, billions, trillions, like... It doesn't matter. They should pay a lot more. You have these people making, like, what do you think Tim Cook's salary is for Apple? Just a guess, or do you know?
I don't know. I know that Steve Jobs is, famously only took $1 in salary, but I think Tim Cook actually takes his salary, hundreds of thousands of dollars. Millions, I think, probably.
Yeah, I would say probably millions. I mean, if you look at these salaries of these people, you know, $20 million, some of them $100 million, like, if you're making that kind of money, then obviously look at how much money is not going back into the economy, because those guys don't put it back in the economy. It sits in a bank account. It's just, right. They put it in their investments. They might buy some Bitcoin or whatever. They have their money diversified all over the place. But where it doesn't go is back into the economy.
Oh, it never does, right? There's no such thing as trickle-down economics. It doesn't work. So they're not putting that money back into the economy. It goes into their wine cellar. As Corey Jernigan says here in our chat, Corey says, Jeff Bezos pays less in taxes than I do. Yes.
And so exactly. Higher taxes,
I mean, again,
higher taxes is the only way to get that money back into the economy. That's the only way.
Right.
Well, I mean, I say that, but actually it doesn't go back into the economy. It goes back into the government's hands to where they can spend it and not give us more of it and put more into the war budget. But
at least we can pay for, at least we can pay for these roads and bridges, and yeah. How are we going to cash it? You know, how are we going to cover all of this stuff? You know, and this is, you know, to have this $3 trillion economic plan pulled together in this way and be able to cover it with corporate taxes. And we know based on the figures, at least of that ultra wealth tax, even if we included the ultra wealth tax that Elizabeth Warren wants to put forth, That would cover, according to estimates, $3 trillion. And that would be on people that make over 50 million. No, 20 million. 20 million, 50 million. 20 million, 50 million. I think it might be 20 million. Or that have assets of that such at that high. So the ultra, ultra wealthy people.
Well, and isn't it only like cents or something like that?
Two cents.
Yeah. I mean, why not a dollar? You know what I mean? Like... Why, where does that figure come up? Well, we want to hurt them, but you know what? Let's just hurt them marginally. Like, we don't want to hurt them too much. Let's not go a dollar. Let's not even go like $5. Let's go 2 cents.
Yeah. And she keeps making that point. And then of course, Republicans though, are probably not going to go for it. You know, even though it's 2 cents, are they going to go for it? Probably not. They say it's a non-starter. House Republicans are deep already into their 2009-2010 playbook, basically opposing everything. Remember back then when they opposed everything that Obama wanted? Mitch McConnell literally just like got out his playbook. My little sardine playbook here. And it's like, okay, what did we do? McConnell's like, okay, what did we do back in 2009? Oh, yeah. Okay. We opposed everything they did. Okay, I'm just going to, anybody have any bifocals I could borrow? Okay. Okay, we're just going to go back here to 2008, 2009, when we didn't support anything that Obama wanted. Okay, let's do that. It's exactly what they're doing. Now well, they're doing
the,
everything.
Isn't it the same thing with the other way,
Biden wants?
I mean, you have your, you know, a lot of people are like, the Republicans didn't get this stimulus bill to over $2,000. But the thing is, it was Democrats. So it's like, if it's like no matter what, if something helps the American people, it doesn't matter if it's Republicans, it doesn't matter if Democrats, somebody's going to oppose it and it's not going to get passed. So the reason you didn't get a $2,000 stimulus and this increased unemployment is not because of Republicans. It's because of two Democrats.
Two Democrats. You know, Kristen Sinema of Arizona. By the way, how did she go from being a Green Party candidate?
Remember yeah, who was Green for increasing Party? Minimum wage, who was for increasing minimum wage on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Right. And she even talked about, you know, she talked about the current minimum wage being poverty level, and now she votes against it and curtsies on her way out of the Senate. And, you know, this is the face of neoliberalism, right? Well, so we're pretending to be progressive, but we're really just supporting big businesses and oligarchies. That's Joe Manchin. By the way, Joe Manchin, in a private meeting yesterday, this is interesting on this because this is all lumped together with stimulus. There was a private meeting yesterday with Bernie Sanders, Joe Manchin, and they got together to discuss, can we reinvigorate and bring back the minimum wage to back as a bill, $15 an hour? And they had a heated, basically, argument back and forth. And in the end, nothing happened. They walked out of this meeting, and Joe Manchin, once again, sticking to his $11 an hour in the state of West Virginia. And Bernie Sanders left holding his hands up in the air again. Can't believe that we have a Democratic president, Democratic-led Senate, Democratic-led House of Representatives, and we can't increase the minimum wage? Oh, Congress. So let's talk about the human infrastructure piece of the bill now, because this is, I think, the most near and dear to our hearts here on the show. It's roughly $1 trillion, and it will include, this is what we're learning from the White House, it will have free community college. It'll have universal preschool. Child care will be covered. Paid leave will be covered. Long-term care and prescription drug overhaul. So we'll have to see what the details of that exactly are. We can have a discussion about this at the end of the show here. So get any of your super chats in now. We'll take those later. How we're going to pay for all of this is hiking the individual tax rate. So on the highest earners. So that'll go from, I think, 37% up to 39%. And I want to remind you about, you know, where this tax rate was back in the 1940s, 1950s, 70% for the wealthiest Americans, 70%. And now that rate has continually gone down year after year.
And did they put major campaigns of complaining? I mean, they didn't really complain much. It was just kind of like, that's what it was. They understood. I mean, I think they understood helping. Like you're always going to have companies that, I mean, you know, that complain, the railroads, stuff like that probably. But like overall, people were more willing to help people back then.
And look at the 1950s. Exactly. I mean, what a boom time it was. You know, think about the 1950s. And with that tax rate. With that tax rate in the 1950s and 60s. And then, of course, you think about the income disparity. I mean, to me, it all comes down to income inequality, right? That's my biggest complaint, of course, is that the income inequality and we're are not commensurate. So we lower the rates, the corporate tax rates on big businesses, and then we don't help those at least among us get lifted up with a minimum wage, universal health care. So we're happy to take care of big businesses and corporations. We're happy to do that. But when it comes to you, we can't help you. Also in this plan would be hiking the individual rate. It would also carry the interest loophole, the carried interest loophole. So we'll see if any Republicans get on board. It's not hard to envision how this will proceed, though. Democratic leaders on Capitol Hill are going to try to move the big pieces of this forward. But everything will likely be jammed up because Republicans will block all of it. And then it will go into a large reconciliation bill that will probably pass during the fall. But I think Biden wants to. I don't know why he's doing this. I guess what I don't understand really is, you know, can Schumer, Pelosi, Biden, can they keep all of their Democrats in line and get them on board with this? Or are they going to hit some sort of a wall? It's going to be interesting to watch.
You know what I feel like?
I feel like
we keep getting introduced this great big beautiful ear of corn. It's like the juiciest, biggest ear of corn you've ever seen. And then all of a sudden they just whittle all the corn off of it. And then they hand you the cob and you're like, well, at least you got something. At least that's something you can chew on, but it's never what we're told.
You can use that corn cob to put inside of a snowman. Snowman's nose, or make a corn cob pipe out of it. Well, I mean, in this regard, I think the problem I have with it is not so much that they're whittling it away, is that I don't know why they're wasting time with Republicans. Why are you even going to bother trying to put these up for votes just so they can go on record as having voted against it? And then you're going to, once Republicans all vote against it, then you're going to compile it into a big reconciliation bill and you'll pass it? What's the point? Why not just do it now? They were going to try to have this done and signed by Memorial Day, and now it looks like it could be pushed till the fall because you're going to wait on Republicans to vote on it?
Quit waiting on Republicans. What they need to be doing is they need to be spending time on the Democrats they know that are going to oppose it. Forget the Republicans. The whole argument for voting Democrat in the Georgia runoffs and all this stuff was so that they could get control so that Republicans don't matter. So forget the Republicans. Go after the Democrats that you know are going to oppose it, and then just do what you got to do. Take control and use your power like you said you would.
Exactly. Well, I mean, again, Kristen Sinema, Joe Manchin, West Virginia, Arizona. Those are the two that we have to worry about. I'm not worried about, I got to be honest with you, on the infrastructure piece, I'm not terribly worried about this with them because Joe Manchin had talked about a $4 trillion infrastructure plan. And he knows that if he can get pork projects back in West Virginia, he will have a legacy unlike anybody in West Virginia history. He wants to go down as more of a legend in the Senate, more than Robert Byrd. I mean, they have highways in West Virginia named after Robert Byrd, right? He wants to have, like, if he can get all of these big projects brought home in West Virginia, he will. So I'm not worried about him. The squirrely one in all of this, though, is Kristen Sinema. You know, I don't know where she's going to come down on this stuff. And it'll be interesting to see if any Republicans at all vote for any of this stuff. I mean, are they going to be as intractable as possible? Zero votes? Zero of them voting for a stimulus package?
Well, and you know what else is ridiculous? It's like, okay, so they're gonna hold these votes. We're going to get them on the record. That way, if they're on the record, they'll get voted out next time. They'll lose the election. And then you get another person in it. So it's like, okay, just wait. Now, once these people are out, they're on the record now. So now we got to wait till they're out. Once they're out, somebody else that feels the same way could come in. Like, it's just such a horse and pony show that it's frustrating.
Right. And look, you have to get it done in this first 100 days. I'm telling you, like, this is the time. Stop dragging your feet. Actually get some stuff done. You know, if we want to have this massive, if we want to have like universal basic income, you have an opportunity right now. You know, you have an opportunity right now to remake the country. You know, and like you have people like Representative Ilhan Omar, right, who complained about this yesterday. You know, last year, U.S. Special Operations Forces were deployed in 154 countries, which is roughly 80% of the world. Reforming war powers is more than just repealing the use of military force. We need a full accountability and transparency. Great. Great. Then do something about it. Don't tweet. Do something about it. Really, let's do something about it. I want all of you to get some free money right now. I'm going to tell you about this. We're going to talk. We have a lot more to cover here on the show. But I want you guys to take advantage of this today because you've got to check out our friends over at Public. Now, you have to use our link to get this free stock. But the way that this works is, you know, it's really confusing on how to start investing. I have to tell you, I get a lot of emails from you that want to know, how can I make money? How can I start investing? And you're frustrated because you don't know where to start. And you seem like there's so many barriers, you know? And if you feel like only a small group of people can enjoy the benefits of investing, and that's where Public.com's mission is, because they want it to be educational, inclusive, and fun. And I have to say, I am blown away by this app. Now, you got to use our link by going to public.com/morning, and you'll get a free stock. And you'll get what's great is you'll get a slice of a premium stock. So like I told my wife about this, and she jumped in and she got a Tesla stock. I got an Apple stock. And so you can pick which of the big boy stocks you want a slice of, by just, and totally free. You don't have to, you can even start investing with $1 if you want. What's really cool is it's like a social network, and they're really taking a different strategy with trading. So when you go here, you can actually follow me. I'm on there, Clayton Morris. You can follow me. It's like a social network. And what's cool is the community. They're helping people become more inclusive by helping everyone learn how to invest. So it's a really great community. Like, newbies are totally welcome. You don't have to feel embarrassed or like, I don't know what I'm doing. You can ask questions, and people in this network will just say, oh, hey, here's how you do that. Here's what you should check out. Here's how to invest. It's really great. I mean, I love that community action. Plus, I'm a huge minimalism fan. Like, I love when apps are just clean, nice, and easy. And that's what this app is all about, making, you know, trading just super, super easy and clean. So I want you to go check them out right now. Go to public.com/morning. You'll get a free stock. And you can follow me. Follow me on public.com. I have a profile on there. So do a search for Clayton Morris. And you can see what I'm investing in. You can start investing today with as little $1. You can even get a free slice of stock when you join. Go to public.com/morning to download the app. And valid for U.S. residents, 18 and over, subject to account approval. See public.com disclosures. And this is not investment advice. That's my little disclaimer I have to add there. All right. Huge fan of that. Really, really cool app. I love that. All right. Let's talk about keeping them honest this morning. Congress is just one big group of liars. So first, let's start with the right to vote and H.R. 1. Do you guys know what H.R. 1 is? It's this new Senate bill, okay? And it's now Senate Bill 2, S-2, because it passed the House. And it's being portrayed by Democrats right now as the savior of our elections. But what they don't publicly talk about, though, is all the hidden ways that it hurts our elections. So Republicans are painting it as a way that it's going to get all these illegal immigrants to vote. Of course, both are wrong. They nearly came to blows yesterday in the Senate over it. So watch as Ted Cruz basically just sits there on his phone while Chuck Schumer is speaking. Watch this. So you can see Ted Cruz on the right side of your screen. Watch this speech.
Today, now, in the 21st century, there is a concerted nationwide effort to limit the right of American citizens to vote and to truly have a voice in their own government. In the wake of the November elections, one of the safest in recent history, Republican-led state legislatures have seized on the former president's big lie that the election was stolen and introduced more than 250 bills in 43 states aimed at tightening voting rules under the guise of election integrity. Instead of doing what you should be doing when you lose an election in a democracy, attempting to win over those voters in the next election, Republicans instead are trying to disenfranchise those voters. Shame on them. In Iowa, where college students often rely on the flexibility provided by early and mail-in voting, the Republican legislature voted to cut early voting by 9 days, close polls an hour earlier, and tighten rules on absentee voting. In Wisconsin, where urban and rural precincts face vastly different administrative burdens, Republicans have proposed limiting ballot drop boxes to only one municipality, no matter what its size. Could be 10,000 voters in a rural Republican county or 500,000 voters in an urban Democratic county, one ballot drop box. In Arizona, no fewer than 22 separate measures to limit voting rights have been introduced, including a bill to require every absentee ballot to be notarized. How are poor people going to pay for a notary when there's virtually no indication of fraud?
So there's a lot to like in this bill. There's a lot among the items that Chuck Schumer's talking about. You're going to have poor people notarize, go to a notary. So you pay $15, $20 to get it notarized? Really? Okay, makes a lot of sense. That's what Republicans want to do in a lot of different areas. We're already seeing more, you know, as Robert Reich points out, it's and there's a big piece today in the Washington Post about how much more difficult it is now in the United States to vote than it is to just go out and buy weapons. Welcome to America, where it's easier to do that than vote. Shocking, right? Actually, not surprising at all. Not surprising at all. But there is a lot of hypocrisy going around and on Chuck Schumer's part, failing to mention, of course, like a couple of a big key provisions in this, which I think really hurt third parties. And there's quite a bunch of other things in this federalize our election system and could be incredibly troubling. We'll get to that in a second. Ted Cruz, though, came out and had his own things to say about this dog and pony show yesterday.
It is locking in power for the Democrats for the next 100 years. That is their overarching priority. How does it do this? The Corrupt Politicians Act mandates automatic voter registration whenever anyone has an interaction with the government, whether they have an interaction getting a welfare check, an unemployment check, whether they have a driver's license from the DMV, whether they attend a public university, everyone is registered. This bill is intended to and will register to vote millions of illegal aliens. That is exactly what the Democrats want to do with this bill, is register millions of illegal aliens. And the text of the bill acknowledges that, and it says the illegal aliens who are registered to vote, even though it's against the law for them to vote, they face no liability because they're automatically registered to vote. Not only that, this bill prevents the states from addressing that, from correcting the voter rolls, prevents the states from removing dead people from the voter rolls to facilitate voter fraud. Not only that, this bill mandates that criminals be allowed to vote, that all felons, many states have very reasonable laws that prohibit felons from voting. The Democrats repeal every one of those laws. They mandate that murderers, that rapists, that child molesters be allowed to vote. Now, the reason the Democrats do that is they've made the determination that if millions of illegal aliens and millions of criminals are allowed to vote, that those voters are going to vote for Democrats, and they're going to keep Democrats in power forever.
Well, the truth is it's much more nuanced than that, of course, than either of these guys are going to say. Over the weekend, the Daily Beast posted an article by Jessica Huseman that I read, of VoteBeat, which is a nonprofit news group covering electoral issues. And she said that there's a lot to like in this thing. But it was apparently written with no consultation with election administrators. And one unnamed state election official was quoted as saying that he would follow the law, but he can't guarantee it's not going to be a total cluster F during the first election. The reporter pointed out, hilariously, one provision that I didn't know about, maybe you knew about it. The bill requires states to offer voter registration via an automated telephone-based system. They're saying this is almost certainly non-secure. There's no way that the state is going to be able to pull this off. They cannot. There's no way they'll be able to pull that off. So an automated phone system? How's that going to work? And apparently, according to some sources, it's because of people with disabilities, and that might. But first of all, imagine you're gonna vote by phone. Okay, it's gonna some automated system that the government is gonna run. Now, just to be clear, the Election Commission, they've been begging for more money. The old system. I mean, and now they're basically not going to get any more money, but they're going to be asked to do all of these new things. So they're basically saying, we don't know. Yeah, I guess we'll have to follow the law, but we have no idea how we'll be able to follow the law. Huge problems.
Beyond that, this bill strikes down the election integrity laws at the state level across the board. Photo ID laws, voter identification laws. 29 states have voter identification laws. By the way, about 80% of Americans support voter identification laws. The Corrupt Politicians Act strikes every one of those down. Among the states that have voter identification laws are Georgia, Arizona, and West Virginia. All three of those states have Democratic senators in this body.
Enough hearing of him. But he brings up some good points. I mean, where if you're a registered voter, you wouldn't have to show identification. You wouldn't have to prove it's you. Okay. Seems safe. Why? You're a registered voter and you're sending in your ballot. You should have to prove it's you. Just saying. So again, a lot of this is nuanced here, right? It's easy to get up in front of a microphone and to spew invectives about certain pieces of this. But there are other major flaws in this thing. Like, one of my biggest problems is this ballot harvesting thing. Do you guys know what ballot harvesting is? It's an awful thing. It actually led Americans nationwide to pick any one person to just return a vote for them, provided that the carrier does not receive any form of compensation based on the number of ballots they get. So what that means is, and that's in the bill, that means that paid partisan operatives basically could go door to door, amassing thousands of votes as long as they billed by the hour. Can you imagine? Just imagine. So people would be knocking on your door incessantly. Republicans and Democrats, they'd be knocking on your door. Here's a ballot. Oh, you don't have a ballot? Great. You can fill it out right here while I stand here and I tell you how to vote, basically. Here you go. Fill it out. I'll drop it off for you. I'm a Republican operative. I don't see any problems with that. Do you? There's other sleeper provisions in this thing. It would create a scheme of public funds to match small political donations at a 6-to-1 ratio, 6-to-1 rate. So basically, if I give my candidate of choice a $200 donation, then he'll get $1,200 from the government. Do you know what that is? That's you subsidizing the election. That's taxpayer subsidies of the election. Small donors are great, but why in the world do we need politicians to get a taxpayer subsidy? Do you want your money going for them to run for re-election? Like, do you want, if you're a person from Kentucky, do you want your tax money to go to Mitch McConnell running for re-election? That's what this does. You know, it's interesting because there's arguments here about whether or not this is bad for third parties. And I think it is bad for third parties in many ways, because one big piece of this is that third parties would now have to reach a certain money threshold in order to get on the ballot in state. So Green Party, et cetera. It would also basically make the amount of money that candidates could receive bring it up to, I think it's $500 million. Which is absurd amount of money. But Lawrence Lessig wrote an interesting piece just this week saying, you know what, actually, because this taxpayer subsidy would be included in this bill, that would actually help third parties. It would actually help the Green Party. So now if I wanted to donate to, you know, Howie Hawkins or another third party candidate, and normally they wouldn't be able to raise a lot of money, well, now this would be matched. They'd be able to get six times that amount based on taxpayer subsidy, and the government would basically help third party run, a candidate run. I don't really see it that way. Lawrence Lessig is a brilliant man, but I don't really see that. I think it's going to hurt them more than it will help them. So that's big bowl of...
Just think about how the $25,000 alone... makes it harder. Like, yeah, your major libertarian Green Party, they can probably afford it, but you're not going to get any, you know, the People's Party, that's a brand new party. Like, new parties would barely be able to do anything.
Right. No, I mean, we already have a two-party system. Barely. have a, you know, we have maybe a three-party, four-party. You would have called the Libertarian Party or even the Green Party a real party. And how much force do they really have? And now this will just, anybody else on the fringes wants to start a political party, forget about it. So this just keeps them out of the mix totally. But they can go back and forth highlighting these issues. You know, Ted Cruz can get up there and highlight all he wants about illegal immigrants. And then Chuck Schumer can get up there and talk about people of color are being disenfranchised. And they're having voting booths removed and voting machines and drop boxes removed from neighborhoods. And that's suppressing the vote. And we can go back and forth and do this dance. And Chuck Schumer can say, shame, shame, shame.
It's one of the most despicable things I have seen in all my years. Shame, shame, shame.
I love it when there's a good camera around, right? I can play for the cameras. Well, someone who is actually playing for the cameras, and I support this, is Bernie Sanders. So Bernie Sanders is going to Alabama. Now, the reason he's going to Alabama is because Amazon workers there are pushing and meeting to unionize, to form a union. It would be the first in Amazon's history, and he is heading there, and they have until March 29th to submit their votes on whether or not to form a union. Now, the reason Bernie Sanders is going there is apparently young Amazon workers are on the fence about whether or not they want to form a union. And it's interesting, when you think about it, how much education did we have about unions in this country growing up? It was removed from our education. We weren't really taught about it. I didn't know much about unions. As a young person in the United States, unions, like who even hears about unions anymore? It's because Republicans have done such an amazing job of getting rid of unions and slashing workers' rights in this country. And heck, Democrats have done a good job going along with it too over the years. Neoliberals have gone along with it too, in favor of big corporations. You know, big corporations pay them money to run for election. Let's erode workers' rights. So there's not a lot of education about unions in this country. And so young people who are working at Amazon, they don't know. They're like, I don't know. I'm being asked to unionize. Should I vote to union? What does that mean for me? And so Bernie Sanders is heading there to hopefully, I mean, hey, if there's one person you want that can connect with young people, make the point that, yes, it would be very smart of you to unionize here at Amazon and build back some of these workers' rights that have been eroded in the United States. We saw some big moves from, Joe Biden. I will give him credit for this. President Biden, over the past few weeks, of course, he made a pretty big statement, one of the loudest statements about workers' rights and unionizing that we've heard from a president in decades, maybe ever, to be honest with you. He didn't explicitly talk about Amazon, but we knew what he was talking about. He could have, and it was good, but it wasn't perfect. And he has during the campaign said he would be the president of union workers. He was going to support unions and be bold about it. As workers' rights across the United States have been ripped apart, slashed left and right. And Amazon particularly has been a huge offender of this. And this came to blows on Twitter just yesterday. It was pretty amazing to, let me pull this up here. Yeah, so this is Dave Clark, who is the Amazon CEO. I welcome Senator Sanders to Birmingham and appreciate his push for a progressive workplace. I often say that we are the Bernie Sanders of employers, but that's not quite right because we actually deliver a progressive workplace. This is the CEO of Amazon. We are the progressive workplace. Oh, yeah. Sure. Here's what Representative Mark Pocan said. Paying workers $15 an hour doesn't make you a progressive workplace when you union bust and you make your workers urinate in water bottles. So what's he talking about there? Well, of course, in a number of reports about workers at Amazon, they have to go so far to find a bathroom because the warehouses are so large, and they have to hit a certain quota, a certain rate. And if they don't hit that rate, they could be fired. Like, they don't even get notified from an employer or from a manager. They get like notified on a little electronic thing that they carry around that they haven't hit their quota and their rate, and they have to leave. And so there's been reports that they don't want to take the amount of time it would take to go to the bathroom, so they just go to the bathroom in bottles, because they don't want to walk all the way to the bathroom. They don't want to lose their job. These are the types of workers' rights we're talking about. Like, oh, hey, can I go to the bathroom while I work here? While you are making record profits, Amazon and Jeff Bezos swimming like Uncle Scrooge, like Scrooge McDuck in a pile of gold coins. But by the way, if you listen to Tommy Tuberville, senator from Alabama, he thinks it's awful. Like that, you know, you should have a right to work in a right to work state, and you should not have any, we should not be allowing you to unionize. So Tommy took some time out on the Senate floor yesterday to criticize these workers who are voting to unionize. Listen.
Act, or better known as the PRO Act. Like H.R. 1, the PRO Act represents a massive power grab by the Democrats. Last week, I spoke about a deeply flawed and misguided piece of legislation passed by the House Bill H.R. 1, and now Senate Bill S-1. Today, I'm going to talk about yet another bill from our colleagues in the House that would be terrible for my state of Alabama and for our country. It's called the Protecting the Right to Organize Act, or better known as the PRO Act. Like H.R. 1, the PRO Act represents a massive power grab by the Democrats here in Washington, D.C. to override the will of the voters and state legislators in a majority of the states in this country. Democrats want to force their idea on states that refuse to adopt their progressive failed policies.
Oh, failed.
Federal power grabs like these are...
Failed. Unions failure? Really? By the way, when unions are strong, the company is strong. That data is irrefutable. When a union is strong, a company is stronger. Irrefutable. More profitable. Workers retain and stay longer. If you have happy employees that are taken care of, guess what? They stay longer. And the amount of money that the companies spend on employee retention and having to hire new people is their biggest cost, is one of their biggest costs, employee turnover. The amount of training and time it takes to get people up and running, and lost and productivity declines because now you have gaps in the amount of the time it takes to get somebody up to speed.
Unconstitutional and go against our entire system of government. The PRO Act would overrule the right to work laws across the country and force tens of millions of employees to join a union. Currently, 27 states have the right to work laws on their books, including Alabama. More states could join us in the future. Right to work laws give workers freedom. And more importantly, it gives them the freedom to choose whether to unionize or not. Alabama's right to work law has been a huge benefit for our state.
Oh, sure. So why don't you ask those workers that are having to pee in bottles whether or not it's been helpful for them. Also, another story that was interesting that I didn't know about, I learned this morning about Amazon, was that the drivers for Amazon also have to use biometric analysis. So they have to sign that they're going to allow biometric analysis while they're driving Amazon vehicles and delivering packages, so that they're monitored constantly. And these, by the way, are people that aren't even actual employees. They can be contract labor with Amazon, and they still have to sign these things to be tracked constantly, so that even if they go to the bathroom, that they're tracked. And they can be fired because, well, you haven't met your rate quota because we've been tracking you, studying you, watching you, every move you make.
My brother Philip was an Amazon employee, and yeah, he talked about that.
Really?
Yeah.
I wonder if he talked about, you know, because, you know, the funny thing is that Amazon tweeted this in response to this peeing story. So Amazon actually got involved in this tweet fight this morning or yesterday. Yeah, this morning. You don't really believe the peeing in the bottles thing, do you? Amazon writes on Twitter. If that were true, nobody would work for us. The truth is that we have over 1 million incredible employees around the world who are proud of what they do and have great wages and health care from day one. Here's the response. I note you didn't actually specifically say that people weren't doing that in bottles. You just inferred it like Cowardly Weasel publication. So that you could call, like your Cowardly Weasel publication, so that you could call all of your absurd workers liars in a non-actionable sort of way.
Abused workers, not absurd.
Was that what I said? Oh, abuse. Sorry. Absurd.
It's all right. Yeah. So you can tell all your absurd workers.
Right. I can say for a fact, here this person writes, that this story must be true. With how many warehouses have outdated equipment and workers have to walk 2 miles and still make rate? You're shooting yourself in the foot. So is this story true or not? Turns out it is true. And an undercover investigative reporter found out that it was true. And this was featured in The Verge, this person who wrote a book on it. An Amazon journalist, James Bloodworth, went undercover as an Amazon worker for his book. Amazon warehouse workers are forced to go to the bathroom in bottles or forego their bathroom breaks entirely because fulfillment demands are too high, according to journalist James Bloodworth. Targets have reportedly increased exponentially, workers say in a new survey revealed over the weekend, and as a result, they feel pressured and stressed to meet these new goals. Yeah, but they're doing just fine, Tommy.
For the people, helping to attract many businesses in our state. Take car manufacturing, for example. Beginning with Mercedes in 1993, automakers like Toyota, Hyundai, and Honda all have large presences in Alabama. Their investment in our state has created a growing automotive supplier network supporting roughly 150 companies in our state.
So whatever we can do here in Alabama to erode workers' rights, we will continue to do that. Tommy, I'm sure, is not telling you, of course, that he takes money and donations from these very same companies that he's up there defending and telling you that the workers are so, they're fine, they're super happy, just like Amazon is telling you. All of these millions of employees are just so happy. They're incredibly happy. By the way, you don't really believe that thing is true, do you? Nobody would work for us. Do you really think that? When people need a job, they need employment, they need a roof over their head, they need to pay their bills. Yes, people will do that. People are desperate. People need that job, especially when Amazon wipes out all the other manufacturers, all the other companies because of their prices, like what Walmart does. So there's no other employment in town because all of the other manufacturing, all of the other businesses have dried up. The little bookstore that might have been there is gone thanks to, you know, now Amazon. That little toy store, gone. Heck, Toys R Us closing. So when those jobs go, people need jobs. If you're the only game in town, and the amount of stress that you have just because you're making $15 an hour at Amazon, but you can't go to the bathroom, what do you think about this? Let me know in the chat below. It was interesting, though, to see this like back and forth. So Bernie Sanders is going to go there and try to talk to these young people. So if you know anyone from Alabama, you know anyone from this area who needs to be educated on this, please point them to today's show. get some context on all of this, but I think this is really important. And it's, you know, I don't know about you, but I didn't really learn much at all about unionizing growing up. I didn't hear about it. It wasn't taught to me in school. You know, we read Upton Sinclair's, you know, The Jungle, about awful conditions at, you know, pork processing plants at the turn of the century. But other than that, wasn't, you know, we learned about muckraking. We learned about how there were journalists at the time who actually started calling attention to the fact that, like, what was happening in these slaughterhouses and so forth. But beyond that, I didn't know much about unionizing. And I saw some people saying here in the chat, you know, that you know, it depends on your union leaders. And absolutely, obviously there's nuances to these arguments, but without a doubt, you know, have that support for workers so that they have a place to turn to where they can have quality of life. They can be protected. They're not being asked to do ridiculous things. They're not being asked to go to the bathroom in bottles so that they can meet a quota. They can make sure that their health and, you know, and psyche is taken care of. You know, I saw a story today, 55% of Amazon workers say they have depression as a result of working there. Sounds like a great place to work. I'd love to hear your experience. Let me know in the chat, like, how many of you have worked at Amazon, know someone who's worked at Amazon? They have similar experiences they talk about. And specifically, what do you think about the ability, you know, the necessity of these people being able to unionize? My first job at Fox Television in Los Angeles was a union job. I was told, you know, when I started working there that I was going to have to join this television union. And I made way more money as a result of joining this union. And I got, you know, credit bureau benefits, and I got a whole bunch of things as a result of it. They couldn't force me to, like, work crazy hours and do all this sort of stuff. And so the union protected me. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. Drop me a note about that below. Let's take your super chats now. Turn on some music, kick back.
All right. We got 11 new members, and we hit scroll to the top. BK Dan, $2.
Oh, good morning. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Good morning, Clayton and David and Grover. Sorry. BK Dan, $5. Happy Friday Eve. If the 1K UBI gets off the ground, when do you imagine the earliest it could be voted on?
Well, it depends on what they have in the pipeline as far as bills right now. We've got infrastructure. They've got the Voting Rights Act. They've got the Protection of, the PRO Act, which is what we just were talking about, the Labor PRO Act. So it probably wouldn't happen until sometime in the summer if they could get this thing off the ground. My wife texted me and she said, remember, all products require some trucker and fulfillment center to live in subhumane conditions. Everything we touch is brought to us in a truck. Those truckers have to meet impossible demands also, and the trucking companies charge them. They kill themselves to get whipped cream to distribution centers and make close to nothing. They make close to nothing. Every product that we get shipped to ourselves and our stores has a huge human cost, and we are blissfully ignorant of this. We live blissfully ignorant of this. This is something my wife and I talk about quite a bit, is that, you know, how can we, like, reduce our overall footprint? And you think about, you jump on Amazon, I think we're all guilty of this, and we're like, oh, I need this one little cord for a thing, right? I need this one little dongle, right? So you jump on Amazon, think about the amount of the carbon footprint and the trucker that managed it, that it has to go to that distribution center, it has to get put in a box with those little air pocket things that they put in those Amazon boxes, and then it's shipped to you, for all in a big cardboard box, all for this, like, one little thing, right? And then the truck that brought it to you, the person that has to make quota, person that's, you know, peeing in a bottle just to get there. It is astounding. And think about, you know, this whole system was built this way, right? This this whole system was built this way, and it's so troubling to think about. Like, we could have had an infrastructure, a rail infrastructure in the United States. It would have been far more efficient. And yet, who won? Who won? Of course, it was the tire lobby that managed to do it. Because the tire lobby won, Firestone and Goodyear. Now we have trucks instead of an awesome rail system in the United States.
Zenith Star, $10. They originated in Central Asia and Mongolia. By the way, thanks for all you do, Clayton. Is the UBI actually plausible or just a pipe dream of a few political people?
I think it's plausible. Here's the bill, the Automatic Boost to Communities Act. It's a bill, you know, and let's see if they can actually get support for it and bring it to the floor. And by the way, you know, yesterday President Biden held a secret meeting, not so secret because we learned about it, but it wasn't supposed to be public, about trying to get rid of the filibuster. So if Democrats get rid of the filibuster and they go big on this and they're like, we're sick and tired of Mitch McConnell and these Republicans, hey, sky's the limit. I mean, imagine what they could do.
Kadash Chaya, UBI shouldn't even be based on COVID. Even if COVID is over, a lot of jobs are still being lost to automation.
Right. So Tommy Tuberville can go down there and talk about all these auto manufacturers that come here. Think about any auto manufacturing jobs use big robots. It's automated.
Ms. Diva won $20. Thank you, Ms. Diva. I already filed taxes and added the unemployment as taxable income. Should I file for an amended or wait for IRS to figure it out? I had $9,500 of unemployment with $1,000 taxes withheld. Can I remove it from my taxes?
Well, they will automatically do it. You said she already filed her taxes? Is that what you said? Just want to make sure I got the question right.
Already filed taxes and added the unemployment as taxable income.
Yeah, what we're hearing from the IRS is that they are going to handle it automatically. Like, if you've already filed your taxes, they will get that money back to you. They will handle it. If you haven't filed, that's when, you know, you'll need to input that information. But according to our tax experts here who watch our show, our friends John and Michelle and others who are here and others have said, yes, the IRS is saying that you will not need to do anything. By the way, my wife is she's on a text storm right now. Let me read you. My wife says, my point is that Amazon is not the only distribution center that takes advantage of people. Everything we touch has taken advantage of someone. Unless we are truly willing to pay real price of goods, that will continue. Now, we've talked about that here on the show before. I think a couple of weeks ago I brought it up recently, where I said, like, we just do not want to pay the real price of things. We are used to getting our cheap televisions made in China, and as Americans, we have an obligation to change this, but we love our cheap crap.
And how do you know that we love that cheap crap? Just watch the Black Friday videos of TV sales.
Right. Or go to a kid's birthday party where they hand out those party favors at the end for all the kids, and they're like the little cheap plastic stuff from China, you know, like the little like bubbles and stuff and all that crap. I mean, we have an addiction to this kind of stuff. And you think back like 100 years ago, think about like the stuff that's well made that stays in a family for 100 years. You know,
not even 100 years ago. You know, when I was a kid, I got a Tonka truck that was passed down from my uncle. Do you remember Tonka brand? They were metal trucks that were like solid metal, and just like I had a big dump truck, and that came from my uncle and was still in like great condition. Like, they used to make those old G.I. Joes and stuff that were really good condition, like, or really good quality. Mm-hmm. And then it just started getting more plastic, cheaper.
Yeah. And it's disposable now, you know, you get a toy and it's like, you just throw it away after it breaks and you buy a new one. That's like how it goes now. You know, when I was a kid, all I had to play with was a stick.
I'm sorry, Clayton.
I had a rock.
He had a stick and no friends.
It Just had a stick. I had a hobo stick. I had a stick with a bag on the end of it, and I would just walk around.
And his mom was always Clayton.
Hobo stick.
Clayton, how many times have I told you that stick cannot eat dinner with us? Get it away from the table. Go find real friends.
Clayton, why do you keep hopping on trains, winding up in different cities with your hobo stick? Did anyone ever actually travel with a stick like that? I always saw it in cartoons, you know, like the stick with the bag on the end of it. They'd tie, like, here's all my clothes, and I just would tie it up. Was that ever a thing, or is that only in Bugs Bunny cartoons?
I don't know. I don't know.
And I was a history major, and I've never seen photos of that. I'm going to look for some hobo sticks later.
Yeah, you would think that you would see those during the Depression when people were moving cross-country, you know, to find jobs and stuff.
Right.
Jack in the Box, $2.09. Oh, go ahead.
Well, let me finish my wife's text tirade here. She says, for instance, most truckers don't make it in the industry for more than 2 to 5 years because it's so inhumane. They earn their license, and then they're on the hook for thousands of dollars in order to pay for that training. They don't make that money back during their whole careers, considering they're paying their insurance and renting the trucks. It's awful. It's in many ways, it's kind of like a modern day version of sharecropping, if you think about it, right? I mean, so you're basically renting the truck, paying for the training. It almost sounds like a pyramid scheme in a way, if you think about it.
It kind of is. Like there was a thing on Amazon where they said for, you know, investing like $30,000, you could start your own basically Amazon shipping center with the vans and everything like that. And so, you know, a lot of people don't realize that a lot of these truckers buy their own, the rig themselves. They don't buy the trailers, but they buy the rigs. FedEx drivers, I don't know if FedEx drivers still buy their truck, but I know a guy when I was in Indiana, and he said, yeah, the FedEx drivers buy their trucks. At least at that time they did. I don't know if that's still the case, but it's like you're investing kind of in a business, and then they give you business, but you have to pay that off. So you have to take that out of the wage that you're making until that's paid off.
Wow. Yeah, I'm just reading here that, well, at least according to this piece, and yeah, it says that FedEx drivers, yes, they have to buy their own trucks, but the trucks have to be exactly as required by FedEx. And FedEx Ground is a contractor division. They lease on fleets, which may consist of cargo vans, box trucks, and package cars. The vehicles are owned independently. Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So think about that. You want to become a FedEx driver, you already have to have some money or really, really, really good credit to lease it or to buy it. And then, so whatever wage you make, you got to think that payment, which those trucks, that can't be a cheap payment. There's no way that they're going to go like 72 months or, I mean, who knows, on a commercial vehicle, but those, they're not cheap.
Yeah, that's amazing. And as I'm reading, one trucker says, Jose says, no, you know, because I was wondering if they like park them at home or they take them back to a hub center where they park them, and says, no, we don't return to the hub and park it inside the warehouse. A lot of times, yeah, and then we'll park it there, and then they'll start stocking it up with packages for that next day. But when peak season comes, which starts on Black Friday, basically when they buy rentals, get all these other trucks, they basically go home. They have to get there and get their trucks packed for that day. So they're like kind of sleeping in their trucks, a lot of them. Wow.
Well, and I wonder, that's crazy. I wonder if FedEx insures the trucks for them, or do they insure the trucks too? Because if you're insuring it as well, and you got to think too, like once you're done, like, so you buy a FedEx truck, you're pretty much stuck with that job because like, can you sell one? Like, can somebody buy a used FedEx truck?
Right. Like, is there a fleet of used FedEx trucks out there that you like a, I mean, this is fascinating to me. I didn't know any of this. Like, you know, that you could, yeah. Is there like a website you could go to buy used FedEx trucks? I don't know. That's crazy. Yeah. Christina Ellis says, yes, my cousin, oops, just skipped. Sorry. My cousin's husband used to be a FedEx driver. And when they break down, you better have the cash to fix it or you're screwed. Wow. Wow, and Rick Hoyt says, those trucks run about $1,500 a month just for insurance. Well, yeah, I think about that. Right? They're constantly on the road. I can't tell you how many times I've almost been killed by a FedEx truck. You know, those things zip around the corner. And I wonder if they have to hit a certain quota. And, you know, when Domino's Pizza, you know, the 30-minute delivery, didn't they get rid of that? Because, you know, they were trying to, like, I guess the drivers get bonus, or I don't remember exactly what it was, but John, who I think that worked at Domino's or works at Domino's might have some clues about that. But they think they got rid of that guarantee, didn't they?
Because of that thing.
Yeah.
But like as far as UPS goes, or I mean FedEx goes, if I wonder if they have to insure the vehicle and then FedEx insures the cargo.
Maybe. Hefner 78 in our chat says, okay, I guess we won't get stimulus news today. Well, Hefner,
you got it at the beginning.
You're an hour and 12 minutes late. You're an hour and 12 minutes late to our show.
Just
feel free to
go
back and watch the beginning.
Yeah.
Where I spent 30 minutes talking about the stimulus. But I love passive aggressiveness. I'm the king of it. So when I see passive aggressive attitudes, I can smell them like a cat.
I'm the same. And I always address them.
I guess we're not going to get any stimulus news today. These guys are going to talk about trucks.
Clayton, you never, ever talk about the border crisis, ever.
Clayton, you never talk about the stimulus. You never pick up your clothes. You never.
Well, at least the title got you here, so.
Yeah. Please subscribe. We cover the economy. And by the way, this is a show for people who want the real news, okay? I used to be a news anchor for 20 years, a journalist, okay? I worked in mainstream media. I know how it operates. This show, I will give you the real news without any spin. I'm not paid for, like, by billionaires that run all of those news organizations, okay? And where they have a certain narrative that's out there that they have to adhere to and they follow. We don't do that here. I will call out Democrats. I will call out Republicans. I will cover the economic news and business news that I think affects you and your family. That's what this show is all about. That's what this channel is all about. If you want Republican talking points, please flip on conservative television. Watch Newsmax or one of those channels. If you want Democratic talking points, put on CNN and MSNBC. But if you want unbiased, unfiltered, and a free show that you don't have to pay for, then please subscribe to my channel. I really appreciate it. That's my little public service announcement.
Teresa and Jay Shanley, $5. If it is just Teresa, if you have student loans, check your balance. Some people have seen their balance disappear without doing anything.
What? On the student loan balance?
That's what she's
saying.
Yeah,
I would encourage all of you. Check your student loan. I mean, unless if this, you know, student loan forgiveness. I mean, there's a lot of questions about this student loan forgiveness and what's going to happen here. This $10,000, $50,000, will they eliminate up to $50,000? I sure hope so. I hope that that's still on Chuck Schumer and Elizabeth Warren's lips. They've now had two different press conferences about it. So I know many of you who've written in here on our show have said it would be life-changing if we could actually get that amount. So I'm hopeful that we can get that $50,000.
Jeannie Jolie,
check your loan. Maybe they're doing something about it. I don't know. Sorry to keep interrupting, but check your federal and see if they've done anything about it. I know it's a write-off, but can they, you know?
Fabian, $5. If Democrats are able to get two Senate seats in 2022, wouldn't that erase the filibuster?
If who were?
The Democrats.
Wouldn't that erase the filibuster? No, because you need a 60-vote supermajority. Like, so they would be at 53 votes. Well, 52, technically, because then there wouldn't be a tiebreaker needed. Because, it would still be. Because anytime you could possibly have a tiebreak. But the real question is, what happens if Puerto Rico becomes a state? And then we have 102 senators. Wouldn't that be interesting? And would they be Democrats? That could break the logjam, but you still wouldn't be able to reach that 60 vote. You still need 60 votes. Well, then you would need 60. I wonder how that would change. So you would need 61 votes, right? 60. I don't know. I'm not doing math today, please.
Not live. No live math. That's a rule.
All right. No live math.
Sunshine Speaks, $9.99. Every time I hear your show, Clayton, I get some juicy tidbit of information. Excellent. Thank you for educating me on many subjects.
Thank you so much. That's very kind of you to say. My goal, I always think like, okay, if I can, when I do a show like this, if you walk away with like one thing that you found valuable, like that, then I feel good, you know? Not everything we talk about is going to strike a chord, but...
Nope, or everything we... Every little comment we make. We get... Like, if you guys saw the comments sometimes we get after the show, it's crazy how some people, like, hear something completely different. It's like whenever we talk about, you know, UBI or stimulus or something like that, you've got people saying, you communist, you socialist, like, you know, just like off the rails and not understanding what that means. But it's like there's so much, everybody's so divided right now. There's like this hard right, hard left, and people don't want to move. And so people are just like throwing insults without listening. And a lot of you that sit there and actually listen to what's being said, and you actually look at like the information, you tend to, you know, start to move in a different direction. I love seeing how many people have left mainstream media here and have said, hey, I was a Republican or I was a Democrat. Now I'm a progressive, or now I'm thinking about this or that. I just think that's awesome. BK Dan, $2. Amazon tracking equals Big Brother.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. I mean, would you allow this as a union? Like, hey, we're going to track you every movement, even what, like, we'll know when you're in the bathroom. How long you spend in the bathroom? You have to agree to that to become a driver.
Kevin Kirby, $4.99. I understand your journalism needs funding, but why are you guys charging people to ask you guys questions in the middle of a pandemic? I'm lost. We're not forcing people.
Do you see anything nearby? We can try to help you get unlost. What do you see like a grocery store? See a tree? Help you get unlost. We're not asking anybody to do anything.
Yeah, I mean, people don't have to, you know, we answer questions for free. We do the show for free. You can watch the show and get all the information for free. You can email questions, you can ask questions and comments, and we try to answer everyone, but you got to understand, when you've got almost 500,000 subscribers and 5,000 members that are in here chatting, we cannot see all the questions. So we're just trying to be efficient. So, you know, if that's a problem, I mean, but thanks for the super chat.
And also, by the way, yes, thank you for the super chat. And thank you for supporting independent journalism. Do you know it costs thousands of dollars for us to do this show every month? Tens of thousands of dollars for us to do this show with what we have and our infrastructure and our team. Like, so it takes a lot.
Yeah, I mean,
we are not run by billionaires. Like, we don't have Jeff Bezos funding us.
I think people think that we just sit here and, you know, we have a website and then we're two guys that just, you know, we just get on the internet that we don't pay for and all this other stuff. But you guys really, seriously, there's a team behind this. We have to have people answering emails. You're wanting your pet pictures showed. We have to have people gathering that stuff. Like, Clayton and I don't have enough time to do all the things. So it's literally tens of thousands of dollars per month to run this channel, in spite of what you think. So it costs us money. So that, but we try to make it as efficient as possible. And on the memberships, we could have charged whatever we wanted. YouTube will let us set the custom amount, but we set it to $1.99 so that it's not that expensive.
Okay. So let's set up this link now, if you can. Someone was asking, I forget who it was in the super chat, wanted that link for our, for the free stock again.
Denise Gibson.
If you want free... Okay, Denise wants, you know, if you want to get a free Apple stock or Tesla stock, I mean, these stocks are premium stocks. The one I was showing off today is at Public. And you go to morninginvest.com/public. Just made it easier, okay? So if you want to get the free stock right now, go to morninginvest.com/public. It's a little bit easier for you. morninginvest.com/public.
I am Laura, baby. $4.99. The unemployment forgiveness of $10,500. What will our refund be from that? Can you opt out of the monthly payments and get all of it? Love your show. Smiley face.
I believe, well, that's, I think what we're waiting to find out is how they're going to set that up on their website. They have to set up an online portal. So I'm sorry, you're talking about the unemployment forgiveness. They are going to automatically send that to you. Your refunds should be, it's $10,200, just to be clear, $10,200. Can you opt out of monthly payments? I don't think, maybe you're conflating the two, the child tax credit and this income the unemployment credit. Two different things. And I believe the child tax credit is going to be set up as a monthly payment of like $300 per child. And they're going to set up an online portal. If they don't know you have kids, you're going to have to go to this online portal according to the IRS, and that should be set up sometime over the summer. And I hope, and what we were hearing from was that you would be able to get them either as monthly payments or in one yearly big lump sum. The $10,200 thing is totally separate. That's so you don't have to pay taxes on that unemployment money that you made. That is different. And the IRS, I think, is just going to send you that refund. Like, they're not going to break it up as monthly payments. So I hope that answers it, Lori.
Can you go back to you full screen?
If I understand. Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
Sorry.
Anger, Mr. Swords, $10. Good morning, Clayton, David, and Grover. Now, how does that bill work when it comes to receiving the $2,000 and then $1,000 reoccurrence? And if you have direct deposit already set up, how does that work?
Well, they're going to give you a debit card. And so that presumably, if that's the way that this would pass, you're going to get a $2,000 debit card sent to you in the mail with $2,000 on it as the first tranche of money. And then they'll send monthly, they'll re-up the card. So it'll be less just like your bank card with another $1,000 being added to it.
Rob Jacobs, $5. Kevin Kirby, $2.99. But why charge? Okay, Kevin.
He was following up on his previous question.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah. Because we have to
understand, like, super chats are not, like, we don't own them. Like, it's a YouTube feature.
Yeah. So, and the thing is, like,
it's not charge.
If we don't charge, if we don't make enough money to cover this channel, we would have to close it down. Like we said, it costs tens of thousands of dollars to run this channel every month. Not every year, every month. So, you know, if you don't want to have this channel, then we could shut off all the memberships. We could shut everything off and do it that way. But that's not what we want to do.
And by the way, to do this channel, I spend about 3.5 hours in the morning preparing and writing the show, getting ready for the show. And then like an hour and a half doing the show. So that's like 5 hours of my life. And then I think about it all night. Then I work on a newsletter every day that I write. So I always love when there's like one person who's like,
yeah.
Now, how do you make money?
And I'm always like, you know what? Why don't you go watch another channel that doesn't take super chats and stuff like that? If that bothers you that much.
Yeah, you know, every big channel does. Like, yeah. That's how they're able to hire people, and that's how they're able to keep doing what they're doing. Because we don't have Jeff Bezos, you know. We don't have those big billionaire corporations backing us.
Yeah, we don't have the military-industrial complex giving us hundreds of thousands of dollars a month to push an agenda.
Right.
April Sizemore,
I'm literally one of, like, four. I think I'm literally one of, like, four progressive news channels on YouTube, and they're getting squashed. Like, some of them are getting suppressed in the algorithm. I mean, stuff is happening, right? So there's very few like independent progressive news sources out there. So I want to thank everyone here who does support our channel. I want to thank all of you who are subscribers. I want to thank all of you who've ever bought a t-shirt from us or anything, a mug, anything like that. It really means the world to us so we can continue doing what we're doing, because I love doing this show. And, I love being able to see all of you guys every morning and to cover news that I think is important. So thank you. I just want to say thank you on that.
Michael Slack, $5. Thank you. E, $5. I love your show so much. I tried to buy into BLAGF, but Webull doesn't sell it. How can I go about investing? I'm a newbie to investing and need help.
Thank you, E. No problem. I'll tell you how to do that. So that's what's known as an OTC stock, okay? These are not part of like the New York Stock Exchange or the NASDAQ or anything like that. So an OTC stock is very typically like a smaller cap stock. You could even consider it like a penny stock that's not on the NASDAQ or New York Stock Exchange, et cetera. So what you need to do is go with one of the main big brokerages. And that is like going with, Charles Schwab, Fidelity, TD Ameritrade. So I have multiple accounts, at different brokerages because, and I wrote about it in the newsletter this morning, like the reason I do that is because certain brokerages allow you to access different types of trades and coins and things like that. So I have, when I'm trading crypto, I have my main like Coinbase account, but then I also use Binance and things like that. So I can get some altcoins. And that's the reason you would use a Fidelity or Charles Schwab or TD Ameritrade, one of those big ones like that. So open that account and that would enable you to just use that account if you want to buy OTC stocks. It's a great way to use like those accounts just to, you know, buy in some of those like gold producers and things like that that are not on the main stock exchange. Did I answer your question, E? I hope I did. So that's what's known as an OOTC.
Michael Willis, nice. New member, welcome. Kathy Olhausen, $4.99. This is why education is so important, so a person can get out of poverty. If you don't educate yourself, you'll most likely live on minimum wage.
Exactly, Kathy. That's why I spend so much time, you know, trying, like with this channel and my other channel, trying to teach you about different, you know, trades and real estate investing and those types of things and building a business, because that's how you can truly try to eliminate poverty in your family, to be lifted up. And that's the way to do it, through education.
Through education, but that doesn't have to be college. I mean, I've not spent a day, a single minute in college, and I've not worked minimum wage for a long time. So, you know, you can educate yourself on YouTube on things. You can do like Skillshare or things like that, to where you can get an education without the high premium of college.
Right. And I don't think she's even saying that, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
No, Kathy's not even saying college. No, she's just saying this is why education is so important. Look, I agree. I think college can be largely a huge waste of money. If you've watched my show for any length of time, you know that I think it's overrated. I think the return on investment from going to college is awful. Unless you know the return on investment, the ROI from the 4 years and the $100,000 that you're about to spend, you better understand what that return on that investment is when you get out in the United States. Now, if you're in Europe or other places, you go to college for free and you can become a doctor for free and you can become a lawyer for free and you don't have any student loan debt because they take care of their people. But in the United States, we have a for-profit college system, you know, that lines the pockets of our politicians. They make millions of dollars. So you need to know it's going to take you 7 years as an architect or whatever to pay back the 5 years of architecture school. You know, like you need to know those numbers going into it. Like if you're like, oh, my parents just want me to go to college because they think it's good and I need to go. Great. But you don't even know why you're going to college. And now you're going to get an art degree or something that you're not going to make, you know, you're never going to use, or the money will never be made back as a result of that. These are all things I think people don't think about. They're so trained to just think you have to go to college. I'd much rather you have it like take a year off and figure out if you want to go to college and what do you want to do? And do you need to get an actual college degree? I think you might be better off like spending that time learning things on Skillshare or YouTube or, you know, one of these other course companies, etc.
Samantha Witt Lewis, new member, welcome. Catherine Lavelle, $5. Smash the like button, everyone. P.S. I'm getting my STEMI on Friday. That's tomorrow.
Way to go. Yeah.
Congrats, Catherine. Dr. Elo, hey, Doc, $10. Here's my $10. Please take more. I'd rather pay for real news than get fake news on cable. Just saying.
Hey, thank you, Dr. Elo. That's very kind of you.
Paula Fisher, new member, upgrade. Welcome to gold, Paula. Crypto Tika, $10. I like that name. Clayton and David, thank you for always bringing us a great show. Cheers to independence.
Thank you.
Lisa B., we want the Grovermeister in pet pics. The Grovermeister.
You know, so my pet pictures, I don't have a folder for today, unfortunately. So it looks like tomorrow we're going to have to double up on some photos. You know, I got some older ones here, like Dexter. Here's Alice with her little baby Barney. But I do not have a folder set up today, so I'm going to have a talking to someone on my team about that.
Madam 81, $5. Good morning.
We'll have a big pet Friday. How about that?
Corey Jernigan, $9.99. The violence and stress in this country right now is directly correlated with the economic situation. They took so long to pass stimulus. People are broke, tired, hungry, and are lashing out, which is understandable.
Yeah. You know, Corey, also the question needs to be asked about is, you know, or maybe we're not really talking about it, but, you know, we bomb these we bomb these other countries, right? Like this guy goes in Colorado. I think he was Syrian, right? And just like 2 weeks ago, we bombed Syria, you know? Not saying there's a connection, but maybe. And we just don't have those, we don't have those uncomfortable conversations about how many people were bombing around the world.
Krista, $5. Thank you. The Queen of the Gram, $3.99. You're appreciated. Thanks for all the info. Selena Ordias, $5. I am a supporter. Thank you. Daniel Carroll, $2.99. Is the child credit for 6 months or 1 year?
It's 1 year. Well, it's for the year 2021. And it'll start in, hopefully they'll start it in July. That's the goal.
Skyrinx. $5. Does the Rebel Media YouTube demonetization concern you? They are an independent Canadian news company. That's exactly why we're pushing people to the newsletter, because all of this stuff with the demonetization and stuff on certain issues that we talk about on the channel does concern us. And that's why having you on the email list, that means that if anything ever happens, we can push you guys wherever we have to move to.
Yeah, if we have to go to a different server, we have to go to a different place, and that's something that we're working on. So that's why, please, 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 if you're not already a subscriber of our free daily newsletter, we write it every morning. We put a lot of work into it. We cover a lot of stories, and it'll hopefully make you more intelligent, more informed, and it's free. And then that way we can connect with you, like if God forbid something happens, like, you know, suppression of these types of stories that we want to cover here, because the super rich get their way and want to shut anything down. We have a way to connect with you. I want to read this next one. Maz Tech Gaming says, I don't want to hear another question about super chats. Watch the show or don't. Don't let them work you up. Keep up the great work. Let them work. Keep up the great work. Thank you, Maz Tech Gaming, for your super chat. Here, going forward, I make an announcement right here. I will never answer another question about super chats as a super chat. Okay? You ask it, we will ignore it. FYI.
As a matter of fact, thank you. I will delete it and you'll get your refund.
Yes, how about that? So I don't want to hear any more questions about super chats. I don't want to waste people's time on that. So thank you, though. That's it. We did it today. No more.
Yep, no more. Catherine Lavelle, $5. Regarding gun violence, I worry almost every time I shop. I always watch for suspicious activity, exits, ways to hide. I hate feeling this way.
Isn't that awful, Catherine? Awful. Like, we're so conditioned now in the United States to act that way. Like, my wife was at a park with a friend, a few months ago. And they were there and the kids were playing. And a loud bang happened. And their first thought was that like, oh my God, you know, someone's there opening fire or something. I got to duck. And it had nothing to do with that. It was like a wheelbarrow had fallen over or something, you know, but we're just so conditioned to think that in the United States. It's awful.
Patricia Danko, $5. I have a gun and it has not hurt anyone. And Maztec Gaming just became a new member. And that concludes the super chats and memberships.
Well, thank you, everyone. Thank you for an awesome show today. Thank you for your time, all of your feedback. I love your questions. And I learned what a bindle is today, which is a stick with a bag on the end of it, a burlap sack. I learned that a bindle holds the gunny sack on the back. We're learning so much around here. Thank you, everyone. Grover, thanks you. Don't forget to check out our show sponsor today, our friends over at Public. You can go there right now to get a free stock. And I love their community. Follow me over there, by the way. I see a bunch of you following me. I got a little alert. A bunch of you followed me. I saw Darren Hibbler followed me. So just follow me over there, and you can see like what I'm purchasing and different investments and stuff. So yeah, check it out. Go to morninginvest.com/public to get your free stock. Much love to all of you. Thank you guys for joining us today on the show. Be safe, be kind. And we will be back here tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. Eastern Time. Peace.